Hello and welcome to Gaming News Weekly. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Matt.
Right, Matt, how you doing? It's this has been a consistent period of time as we come into the new year. I guess Happy New Year first off.
Happy New Year, new year, new us, new consistency. Hopefully, consistency of releasing podcasts instead of consistency of not releasing podcasts. That's our New Year's resolutions this year.
Exactly. And a new co-host coming soon to replace Matt. So if you'd like to do the apply for the oh
When
wait,
did
no, wrong podcast. No.
oh
No, I'm joking. Because listeners, me and Matt have actually been able to get some game time in together. And
wow
Matt's going to be really excited to talk about what we've been playing when we've done that. I really would like to hand it to Matt and say, go on, tell everybody about all the great things that we've played. There's one in particular, but I'm going to jump in because, gather round, I'm a little late to the party. And I think those that know me are going to understand that when I say I'm really enjoying this game, they're going to go, yeah, okay. Because Gareth really likes Mass Effect Andromeda. Gareth quite liked certain parts of Anthem.
Anthem wasn't
This is
bad.
what Gareth does. He likes games that the critics definitely don't jump on. And I can understand why, and I'll get to that. The game, of course, if you hadn't already sort of put two and two together, is Starfield. I am late to the party. I think Matt had asked me about this a while back, and I'd said this is a jump into sort of over the Christmas New Year break, and loving it. I'm a Bethesda fan. I'm a Skyrim fan. I'm an Oblivion fan. Yeah, you go back. Morrowind, love it. Fallout, big fan. Guess. Why wouldn't we be happy that Bethesda have come together and made a huge game? Okay, there are loading screens in space and blah 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 blah. It's a huge game. It's massive. And I know the planets, a lot of them are generated and mostly look like rocks with an abandoned tower and a cave. But I am also the person that plays these games, and I'll be honest, I've put the equivalent of about a day and a half into this game already in hours. And I don't know what the phrase would be. There must be sort of like mission scumming. I don't know. Like every time someone walks past and says, oh, I really wish Brian could get some help with blah blah blah. I'm like all over it. I'm like,
Who's
let me go
Brian?
help Brian.
Where's Brian?
Exactly. Well, who's Brian? How much help does he need, and what is he willing to do to pay me? Yeah, really, really, really enjoying this game. And I'll be honest, I'm an advocate for getting so far through the main quest for reasons other places are sharing already, but maybe I won't, just in case there are people out there that don't know. But what I've really enjoyed, and before I say, if you've got Game Pass and you haven't played this, go play it. I just want to say I really, really, really have appreciated. I'm a talker, in real life, as well as on the podcast, but in this game.
As well as in Bethesda games.
Really, as well as Bethesda games, yeah, this game rewards you really, really nicely for really getting behind persuasion, really being diplomatic, or you can also, bend people to your will in putting it like basically not being nice with how you are and how you speak to them, and how that has been rewarded so much. I have definitely not got into as many gunfights as I think, well, you maybe sometimes other people would, because I've just talked and I've just clicked on five options, gone through the persuasion mini game, and I'm laughing. I have deliberately not done a stealth archer sort of setup, because I already know it's broken. I already know, you know,
I
did
Bethesda
that in
class.
Oblivion. Yeah, I did that in Oblivion. I went through every tunnel, you know, invisible to most people, you know, pickpocketing everybody, done that. Now I really want to see, like, have they prepped me for having this conversation? Now, I am also going to say, before I finish my rant on this, Outer Worlds, Starfield. I think if they now weren't all under Microsoft's sort of umbrella, someone would be saying these games are very similar. I really would have liked to have seen what Obsidian being involved in this game would have led to. But Starfield's good. It's quite serious. It's quite, it has its funny, quirky conversations and stuff. Outer Worlds is a bit more light-hearted and a bit satirical. I guess now you'd probably say Outer Worlds, and probably Outer Worlds 2 is a satire of Starfield. But yeah, I love it. And I don't want to talk about it too much because I'm 3 months late or whatever it is. But to finish off, if you've got Game Pass and you don't know whether you should play it, play it. Cloud play it, whatever you want to do. Don't download it if you don't want to use up space and go through all that. Just cloud play it. It's done well for me. Do that. And then if you don't like it, you'll know in 4 hours. I think give it 4 hours, mainline quest it. If you don't like it in 4 hours, don't play it. That's my thing. I've got another game that I've played, but I want to hear Matt talk about that. So Matt, what have you been playing?
So I guess we'll jump into what you're talking about is Call of Duty, primarily Warzone. I have touched Modern Warfare 3's multiplayer. But we'll start with the Warzone. Is that Gareth finally convinced me to jump back into Warzone, quite literally jump back into Warzone, and it's like a love-hate relationship. You know, the first few matches jumping into it.
Is that me or is that Call of Duty?
Yes. So first jumping into it. man, it was, the first few matches are rough just because there's people on there that have been playing it for years and years, and it's just, it's a steep learning curve because the way you play Warzone is different than like Call of Duty's general multiplayer because it's so much bigger. There's more nuance to it, and it's grown so much from where it was as Warzone 1, where I initially started playing it. But it's not all bad because once I started getting the hang of it, I think it was around the second day when like the gear started clicking, you started getting into the movement of things, you started figuring out how it works, how it plays. It's just addicting. Once you get onto that train of how the game works and playing it relatively efficiently and effectively, I'm not any pro or streamer good, but I was getting to the point where I was finally starting to get kills. Me and Gareth are finally starting to move and destroy you know, duos and stuff like that. It just, once you start getting into the rhythm of it, it's just so addicting. And no wonder why it's having a very long-lasting staying power to it, is that it's just addicting. You just have to get over that very big, steep learning curve past the people who've been playing it for months and months and years. But once you get past that, once you start getting in the rhythm of things, it's just a very finely tuned, good battle royale game. Now, it is free to play, and unfortunately that free to play comes with a caveat that one of my biggest pet peeves was signing into Warzone before I had Modern Warfare 3 disc, and just, it just looks like a free to play mobile game menu that there's pop-ups everywhere, there's you can now choose your own path in the battle pass, there's microtransactions, there's just a whole bunch of crap just popping up on my screen, and I just don't want anything to do with it. I just want to jump into a game and play, and there's just so many menus. But besides it looking like one of those free MOBA Clash of Clans or whatever it is, it just, once you get past that, dumbness. The game is amazing. Modern Warfare, now jumping from Warzone, got into Modern Warfare 3. It's the same Call of Duty that, you know, we've come to know and love. Modern Warfare 3 kind of took it back to the roots, to the point where they brought some stuff back, like you can now vote on the maps that you want. During Modern Warfare 2019 and 2022, they took out, if you fired your weapon, you were not popping up on the mini map. They put that back in to, like, back in the old days, that's how it was. So they brought back
on Warzone as well.
Yeah, so they brought a lot of those old ideas back that, you know, what people fell in love with Call of Duty, and it plays and it does play better. 2019, there was a lot more campers. Because of that, if you fired, it only appeared at your little compass instead of the mini map. So it plays better. And the fact that 2019, this Modern Warfare 3 has all of the old Modern Warfare 2 maps remastered. Probably it just plays better because those maps were by themselves amazing, but it also, it's showing, you know, a flaw that they recognize the nostalgia and that the older maps are better and that they're having a difficult time getting the attention and keeping the attention of new Call of Duty players with new maps. But it's still fun. I still hop into it. I'm able to, you know, knock out a few matches just because it's the gameplay, the gunplay, just like any other Call of Duty. It's just so smooth. So they finally tuned it to perfection. So regardless if you like Call of Duty or not, it's just so fun to play. And that goes for both the multiplayer and Warzone. Just Warzone, Gareth finally got me back into it, and it's addicting. The big thing, the big one I want to take a chunk into is the finals. I finally got an Xbox Series X, and the finals is exclusive to, I guess it would be current gen now, and PC. Made by some old developers of DICE, of the Battlefield series. It's an arena shooter. And it's a kind of a class system arena shooter, similar to, you know, Battlefield, where there's a light class that they're able to move faster but have less health. There's a medium class that's kind of like the, you know, jack of all trades, but they're the support. And then you have the heavy that's slower with more health, and they destroy everything. When I mean destroy everything, the finals has complete 100% destructible environments. Like it's Siege. It's down. It's as specific as Rainbow Six Siege, but also goes all the way, like scales all the way up to big destruction as of Battlefield, where you can destroy entire buildings. It's the best of both worlds clumped together. It's the most consistent and smooth game I've played since Apex Legends, because it just came out, and I compare it to Apex Legends because when old Battlefields used battle royales used to come out, they used to be like PUBG, where it was rough, but it was fun. You know, PUBG was rough when it first launched, but it was fun. That's why people stuck around. Apex Legends was the first real battle royale that I remember that launched, and it felt like a complete 100% smooth game. And the finals is that. It's a brand new IP, brand new out of the gates, and it is smooth. Everything works exactly how it should. I wish there was a few more maps, but the gameplay is just so addicting because the time to kill is so high. Time to kill is so low. It takes a lot longer to kill people, but it makes you calculate your shots more, and it's just overall fun. The destructible environment is just, I have spent more time in the finals than I have any other game thus far, besides maybe Call of Duty, because me and Gareth have been playing it quite a bit. But I've been itching to get Gareth into the finals because it's a game that he would love, and it's just so fun and addicting, and it's such a breath of fresh air because it's also like an old school shooter arena. So it's just, it's good. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to continue playing it. So, is that what you wanted to hear? Good Warzone, good finals. I think it's all around good. Good this week.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be interesting to hear your take on if Warzone looks good. I mean, I'm on the older gen still, but it looks pretty good. It looked like quite a nice game. It's typical sort of sandy, deserty, sandstone houses, that sort of thing. So it's only so good it can look, but I actually think it's quite a nice looking game, and fair play to them, because, you know, Apex Legends has a really nice looking world. The characters look good. The weapons look good. Fortnite, since the update, looks, you know, pretty pretty good as well. PUBG's kind of in a class to the side. But yeah, Call of Duty, I think Warzone looks really good, and it runs so well, I think. I mean, we had very few bugs in the time that we've been playing.
Yeah, and I think it looks, you have to give, I know there's Call of Duty haters out there. They do the same thing, blah, blah, blah. And yes, that to a certain degree, it's the same game and whatever. But that's what it resorts back to, the gameplay and gunplay. They've done it so many times that it's fine-tuned to a perfection. It's almost, you take that same philosophy, you put it into how it looks as well, and it looks beautiful. Now, Fortnite and like Apex Legends, they still look great, but you have to also consider they're more stylish. They're not going for like realistic looking that Call of Duty is, and Call of Duty still looks fantastic even on the older gens equipment, even though it looks going for that realistic. It just goes back to that they've been doing this for so long that they're able to fine tune the not only the performance or the look of it. I'm sure Series X and PC that it looks even better and, you know, has higher frame rates, but they've gotten to the point where they're just so good to it that besides maybe changing up the gameplay, the way it looks, the way it runs, for the most part, they've not nailed down for all the consoles. And that's something you have to appreciate. And I remember saying that about Battlefield 2042, is that while there was texture popping in the beginning, it still looks great on the old gen, and it runs at 60 frames per second. So it's just, even though there's a negative to having the same thing over and over again with slight differences, it also has shown that they're able to fine-tune everything to a perfection, and that really goes for Warzone, that it's able to scale to different generations of consoles and PCs.
Yeah, great. I mean, as we wrap that up, and we sort of just briefly touch on something before we go into our main part of discussion for today's episode, I think it's really good, Matt, that me and you were always on the cutting edge of games that we're playing. Call of Duty, as we all know, usually best, one of the best-selling games of the year. Matt, you decided to want to highlight this week's episode. Some pretty big news that's kind of come out as 2023 wrapped up with regards to sales, meaning that we are so off the boil when it comes to playing the latest best-selling games. Matt, why don't you touch on that subject for us?
Yeah, so while 2023, this last few weeks, that I think this is one of the bigger stories, because everything else is kind of wrapping up, what's your favorite game of the year list, the worst games of the year list, and all that. But the biggest thing that I saw, and me and Gareth actually even talked about this the other day, even before this podcast, is that something that we haven't seen in 15 years, and this is an article from GameSpot, is that in 15 years of sale, every year, the best-selling game was either a Call of Duty or a Rockstar game, Grand Theft Auto, or probably Red Dead Redemption, whenever it came out. But for 15 years, it was either Rockstar or Activision in some way, shape, or form. This is the first year in 15 years that a different game is going to be the best-selling game of the year. That game is Hogwarts Legacy. And as Gareth said, we're on the cutting edge because neither of us have played it yet. But I've heard nothing but great things about this game too, and to the point that it is now outsold Call of Duty. And I know Rockstar didn't have a release this year, but it is now defying that 15-year pattern. So what are your thoughts, Gareth?
Yeah, I mean, when we talked about it the other day, one of the things that kind of stood out to us was this really is the power of the IP. This is the first time there's been an IP come in that has a huge following and a huge sort of like cult following outside of the industry. And there's very, hit me up those that remember the Quidditch game on PlayStation 2. Man, like countless hours I played that game. Other than that, and there were the Harry Potter games for the movie tie-ins, which we all remember movie tie-ins being...
that's the best way to describe them.
Exactly, yeah. We loved them and we ate them up, and now there is no AA game that sits in the middle that's sort of okay, but... not, but anyway, I think it's remarkable it's done it. I think it's great. I think if I'm, I don't know, Joe Bloggs at Disney, I'm scratching my head thinking, this Harry Potter game that's come in, it's done this. Why did my Avengers game not do this? Like, that's got as big of a following. Like, why have the Marvel, like, maybe everybody's been over Marveled or something. There's oh, as you scroll through social media, there's always a link to a new trailer for a new TV series and this, that, and the other. I am slightly surprised Jedi Survivor didn't come closer, Fallen Order, Jedi Survivor. But again, Star Wars, they've got to be scratching their heads thinking, why is this, why is a Star Wars game not the best-selling game of the year? From what I understand, Hogwarts Legacy, its story, it's the world, it's everything you could do. From what I understand, it kind of felt a bit like a Grand Theft Auto in Hogwarts world, in that the world was so open, so many encounters, so many things to do. There was a wanted system, or that wanted system's just recently been introduced, I can't remember. So in some ways, it's probably closer to a Grand Theft Auto. But I guess for me, that's just something that's kind of come into my mind since we spoke about it, Matt, is I imagine there is a conversation somewhere with someone going, why did that Avengers game that came out recently not do this? Gamers would probably say, it wasn't a single player game. Like, probably that's what people want. They want single player story games, open world, maybe. But they don't want these games of a service, you know, stuff. Anyway, rant over. But yeah, great. I'm really glad it wasn't Grand Theft Auto and yeah. Totally forgotten. Activision, Call of Duty, whatever game that would be. It was a small series. Barely sold anything.
Hot heart.
Exactly. Also, Microsoft got to be kicking themselves, maybe, to think, could Starfield have done this? But then with a Game Pass model, do they care about that anymore? I don't know. Concurrent players surely is the important thing.
But so I think there's multiple different... I think you brought up a great point that there has to be other companies that are sitting down. Stop. That took me a second to realize. All right. So anyways, there has to be the 100%. There's people out there having conversations of why our game didn't do this. Disney's probably thinking about it with Avengers, but the biggest thing between Avengers and Hogwarts Legacy, like you said, is live service. The difference between them two is one game was good and one game was mediocre and it had no longevity to it. And they won't see that unless they actually go up and see the reviews and stuff like that. But us gamers know that Avengers might have sold good when it first came out, but it dwindled really fast because it was just not, it was a live service game that didn't live up to its hype and didn't do what it was promised or what we wanted it to do. It just was not a good game. That's the difference for that one, because those brands probably have the same staying power, as a general whole of it. And you also have to consider, I think there's also a Marvel burnout happening right now because there's so much Marvel stuff going on. So that might have been, so I think the closest one would you probably say was the Star Wars from Respawn, is that both of them are great single player games, relatively open world ish and just great single player games all around. So why didn't it sell so well there? And honestly, I don't have the answer to that, but what I'm interested in is that Star Wars also from Respawn sold really well. That's showcasing that single player is back, regardless of what the old EA, you know, CEO said and what people believe, even though the biggest money that Sony's chasing right now is the games as a service and all that. That single player games, if they're made well and they're good games, by good word of mouth, good reviews, they will sell really well. And Hogwarts Legacy did have the crutch up that it's a very well-known platform, even though we discussed that there was a little controversy surrounding it. It was able to blaze right through that controversy with how good it was, and look at it now. Now, I do think I also think another factor came in that it sold better than Activision Call of Duty was Modern Warfare 3 was met with very negative reviews, mainly because of the single player and how you could beat it in 4 hours, and then half the missions are basically you just dropping into Warzone and shooting some AI. And I think it was, I think that also had an effect, because it did a report did come out that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 has sold 38% less, even though it's still number 2 in the total amount of sales for the year, which means it still sold great, but in relation to previous Call of Duties, it dropped 38%. So I think it was a perfect mixture of that. There was a good game that came out on a platform, on a franchise that's well established, mixed with a slightly negative response to a good selling game, was probably the perfect mixture to allow it to break this pattern of 15 years. And I think those discussions happening is shouldn't be how do we make these games as a service beat Hogwarts Legacy. They should look at Hogwarts Legacy and be like, how can we make a great single player game similar to this, or just a great single player game to compete with this, because this is what it seems the customers seem to want on the grand scale. Because look at PlayStation. PlayStation just thrives off a single player. So I think hopefully this sets a good reputation, a good footprint for more studios to follow, instead of trying to follow in, you know, the Avengers footsteps of live service for everything.
Agreed. Some great points in there. I think we'll move on. In the idea of trying to keep the shows a little bit shorter to make sure we get the time to do them, we'll jump on ahead. It would be great to hear people's point of views on that little snippet there. Drop it into the Discord, into the Facebook. We'd love to hear it, and I'm happy to discuss any of your guys' comments in the next episode. What we are going to spend until we wrap up talking about is really we wanted to have a quick review of some of the games that are looking to be released this year, and some come with a certain amount of excitement, some controversy already, and those few games that we wanted to highlight, I'll reel through the names, and then we'll kind of chip away at them as we go through. First off, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Little Nightmares 2, Stalker 2, Star Wars Outlaws, and Suicide Squad. They're the ones that kind of wanted to pick up on. Matt, I mean, a couple of these games encountered some difficulties in development. Stalker 2, sadly, has been impacted with the war in Ukraine, and that's still ongoing, and the difficulties that those guys are having to deal with. We hope they're safe. We hope that that's kind of their priority. But yeah, there's the difficulty of that. Then there's Suicide Squad, which had, and I think it's where I'd like to start. Suicide Squad, for those unaware, was due to be released last year. There was a trailer at an event, I want to say, and there were comments. There were comments. Yeah, not E3. There were comments regarding just things people were seeing in the trailers, setting off, is this a game as a service? This isn't the game we were expecting. Yada, yada, yada. A lot of pushback. Strangely, the game was, and I want to say the release was put off indefinitely. Like, I think that was the phrase they used. So there was no certainty when this game was going to come out. They then announced a release date for this year, now 2024, and I want to say it's not that big of a leap in time. Even let's say a year, let's say it releases towards the end of 2024, a year. Matt, if people weren't happy with what they thought this game was going to be and how it looked, a year in the grand scheme of things of a AAA huge game, it's not going to make a huge amount of difference, is it?
I personally don't think so. And I, of course, you know, just take it with a grain of salt for all the listeners. I'm not a game developer. I don't lie and say I am a game developer. But judging from, you know, the pattern of how games are delayed to, you know, when they showcase something and then they're delayed to hopefully remedy whatever delayed it, even with 1 year, look at Halo Infinite. It delayed for quite a while, and they didn't add any more content, but they were able to change the artwork a little bit. So if they're going to be changing something within that year time frame, it's only going to be like one of the few areas that it had problems with. And for the easiest thing I can see is that year probably is going to make it. They probably dedicate to making it look better and or run better, but not changing the whole foundation of how it plays as a game. What I mean is that the trailers were showing off, like, wasn't like gear score and stuff like, it was very like,
yep.
Very Destiny kind of gear score, Division type of stuff. And that's where it was where people were leaning towards that. They think it was a live, you know, game for service sort of aspect. And then there was also complaints of, you know, the animation and some of the graphics and the resolution and all that. So that's what I mean by like that year time frame. I don't see them changing the foundation of what the game was, as in changing the gear score and all that. Look at Ghost Recon Breakpoint. It took a whole year just for them to be able to come out with a mode to take away the gear score. That gear score, you know, games as a service aspect is like baked into the game. If they change that, they have to change a whole bunch of stuff in the game, and it's doable within a year, but then everything else is going to fall by the wayside. The animations that people are complaining about are still going to be as, you know, stilted and concrete as they were during the gameplay. It might not run as smooth because all their focus is drawn on that. So I believe what's going to change is the game's probably going to look a little better. The animations might be fluid a little more. That aspect is probably, I believe, what is going to be beefed up while they try to underplay the main crux of the gameplay.
Yeah, I agree. I'm concerned for this game. This isn't the game I wanted Rocksteady to be making. No. I don't really know what game I wanted them to be making, but the whole thought of this, I remember there was something as well regarding the amount of guns that appeared to be getting used, and actually, like, apart from Deadshot, most don't use weapons. So,
right.
You know, okay, Harley Quinn maybe, but like, other than that, most aren't using weapons. So there was a bit of that as well. I think you're right. How it's baked in, that will have happened from probably day zero of development, and to get that gameplay loop, find gear, replace gear, get new gear, work, you know, improve gear, that won't be easily removed. You are right, Breakpoint, you know, that happened, that came a year later, except it's also worth remembering Wildlands, very 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 quickly after Wildlands was released, there was additional content, there was great little bits that they were adding in, you know, there was Terminator stuff, all that sort. That was all pushed back because of needing to do that. And they added the survival mode as well, didn't they, where it was making it really hardcore. And I know that there's a huge community all about that. I watch your videos. I love your stuff. But yeah, it's that they lost a lot more than they won in that initially, I think. How well that sold since that change, I don't know, but I don't think as well as Wildlands. I don't think, but anyway, Matt has dragged us onto Breakpoint, and I hate when he does that because I have to hear him talk about it. Star Wars Outlaws, Matt, I'm pleasantly excited for this. It looks like a good Star Wars game.
You know, Star Wars games, I think ever since Respawn has kind of took the helm of it. Now, Star Wars Battlefront with EA, oh, it met with controversy with the loot boxes and stuff like that. After it, you know, DICE really has a knack for like releasing a good game, poorly optimized and poorly done, and then like a year or two later, it being one of the best games. Battlefield 4, and Battlefield Battlefront 2.
2042, Battlefield 1, Battlefield 4.
But just fantastic. Their whole catalog is just a fantastic example of a bad game, good game. Yeah, eventually. And even though those are good games and they eventually became good, I think Respawn really started this helm of being able to make a good Star Wars game, but it also probably helps that more developers are being able to utilize it too, being able to bring new, fresh ideas into it rather than just releasing the same old thing, just a sequel version of it. So I think it's really helped the, what am I trying to say? You know, people are competing against each other, which ultimately that makes us benefit because we get better games. I'm excited for it. I'm not, you know, the biggest Star Wars fan of or anything like that, but I am excited to see it as well.
Yeah, I think for those that maybe haven't seen some of the clips, there's some 10-minute gameplay clips that they released for it. It's important to note this is by Massive, so the guys that made The Division that we just talked about. I'm crazy excited for this game. I really am. I think this could be a really good game. It's got a wanted system. It's got me excited. It's potentially my game I'm looking forward to the most, I think. Let's hope it comes out this year.
Massive did a great job with The Division 2. I mean, they've done a great job supporting it. They even revamped it, and it got, you know, it maintained its audience. Massive is just a good developer, and that's what, and being able to take Star Wars IP out of EA's hands and give it to someone who's capable and willing to make something different, fantastic. I'm excited for it too, just based on Massive alone.
And I'm really glad that was a Disney decision,
right?
That they said, that the powers that be said, well, let's let other people put their fingers in our pies, you know. Maybe this whole just pure EA contract thing isn't working, and I think that's great. Little Nightmares 2, I wanted to highlight that because the Little Nightmares games, and then of course like Inside, Limbo, these games are massive, aren't they? Like they have such a good following. Now they're also all a little bit too dark and
spooky,
nerve-wracking
for
me to play. A little bit spooky for me. But I just love how these games, they're not huge games, but people love them, and I'm so glad to see a game like this coming out. You know, another one after another year. It's great. I'm really glad.
Yeah, I never played the first Little Nightmares, but Limbo. I remember playing Limbo because that went on to like every platform possible, and I just loved it. I loved the twist ending at the end that you were essentially the bad guy. It's just, I'm excited for everyone to enjoy Little Nightmares too. If it comes to Game Pass, I might try it, but I never played the first one. But that just shows that there's a great diversity of games coming out next year that are highly anticipated.
Yeah, and I guess probably for most other people, the most anticipated game is probably going to be Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Sadly, Matt, a game that won't be coming to Game Pass, as it's a PS5 exclusive. But we both played Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation 1 all those many years ago. The first remake game looked great. I thought it looked stunning. From what I understand, it had all of it hit the right notes, with some slight changes as well. Be interesting to see. Now we'll sort of be at overworld sort of level, I think, as they're through the story, from my understanding. So it'll be interesting to see how, if they do that, if it's a bit more of a linear or more linear than it was. It's interesting to see. Bearing in mind this is all part of a bigger picture with Final Fantasy VII's remake. Isn't there like another game to come out after this one as well? It's crazy.
I think it's a trilogy, because like you said, there's changes. There's a change to the storyline that in the general scheme of things, generally people accepted and liked it. I mean, it got great reviews. I know people, some people are still sour about the combat system because obviously it's more in the vein of an action combat of Final Fantasy 15, and from what I understand, Final Fantasy 16, it's more action oriented rather than, you know, turn based of what the old Final Fantasies used to be. But I'm excited, especially excited for, you know, the Sony players, because regardless of the changes and some people receiving it well, some not receiving it well, Square Enix is really on a great stride right now. They're really besides a few flops, are really doing well. They even put out that other weird Final Fantasy of, what is it, the Paradise of Strangers or something like that, that was more Dark Souls-y too, that did relatively well. So it shows that they're willing to not just do remasters and, you know, build a new game from the ground up, as in Resident Evil 4, but they're willing to take a chance and, you know, switch some things up and maybe make a new statement of their old IP brand. So it's exciting.
Yeah, and before we wrap up, a late entry from Matt.
It's been hotly anticipated for releasing for like many years now.
I think I remember shortly after I was born, this game was mentioned, or something like that. Skull and Bones. So, by this point, if you really want to play a pirate game and you're not for some reason playing Black Flag or Sea of Thieves, like, is there still really a market? I don't know. Do I want this game? I don't think I want them to release it. I'd rather they cancelled it, I think.
So, yeah, I don't think there's a market anymore. So, I remember when it first came, because it first came out, the first news started coming out only, I think, don't quote me, it was a few years after Black Flag really blew up. And the aspect of having just a, because then Black Flag is my favorite Assassin's Creed game. My absolute favorite, from aesthetic to gameplay to everything. I think it was the perfect mix of still this old stealthy kind of gameplay from Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and then it had a little bit more of an open world to it that they leaned more heavily into it with the Valhalla and I forget the Egyptian one. So I think it was that nice sweet, it was that nice sweet center point where it was a little more open world, but it wasn't so open world. And it took Assassin's Creed 3's naval combat, made it even better, and just so addicting. I found myself, after I beat the game, doing more naval combat just because it was so finely tuned and fun. So, like, when it was announced that the team behind Black Flag was just going to basically make a dedicated Black Flag naval game, I was all about it. I was like, heck yes, let's get this in my hands right here, right now. And then it never got into my hands. It just hit delay after delay. And this is before, like you said, before Sea of Thieves. I know there's other pirate games. I know there's some people will be like, oh, what about this pirate game? The pirate game.
Jazz Pirates.
Right. And then there was that pirate game from the Ark people too. Anyways, the pirate genre has grown a little bit, where there's a few mainstay games. Is it Ark? There's another pirate game. Anyways, pirate games are a little more abundant than they used to be. Sea of Thieves has really nailed that market, though, because I haven't played it. I dip my toe into it every now and again. I'm getting sidetracked. It's a good game. It's just, it's been strung along for so long that, man, there's a part of me, there's an old part of me that, you know, a decade ago would still wants to play it, but at the same time, there's a part of me that was like, you know, it's been delayed for so long. It's like Duke Nukem at this point. That I'd just rather have it canceled. I'm afraid it's going to be Duke Nukem Forever Sea of Thieves edition. And it's just not going to be good. And it's just going to be...
Or Crackdown 3.
Like, Crackdown 3.
So much promised.
Right.
Nothing like it.
Perfect example. Exactly. It's just, at this point, you might as well save the heartache and just cancel it. But I know they can't, because I guess they got some sort of grant from the French government to produce the game, and they have to release it because the French government gave them so much money or something like that. So they have to, but I'd rather they don't, because like you said, I see a Crackdown 3 who... Crackdown 3 was a game I really wanted, because I loved Crackdown 1, loved Crackdown 2, but then Crackdown 3 disappointed. Duke Nukem Forever is another fine example, so I just think it's going to fit in that category, even though there's a part of me that still wants it. But I think for the better part of the world, they should just not do it. But we'll see if it gets delayed again.
Just to let everybody know, Crackdown 3 is another one of those games that I really enjoyed that everybody else hated. Anyway,
I enjoyed it. I just think that it wasn't different enough. Plus, when it first got released, it was supposed to have that destructible environment throughout everything, and then they were just like, just kidding, it's only the multiplayer. And I mean, and I played the single player.
That was just blocks. Right, just it wasn't just, like, you weren't in a city, you were on these platforms that
right.
you could destroy. It was like so, Fortnite, basically.
Right, another disappointment. And then the single player, I enjoyed it, but it was essentially, there wasn't any major upgrades and revamps. It was just a little bit of a prettier Crackdown 1 and 2, essentially. So I didn't hate it.
I think I 100%ed it.
Did you?
I think I 100%ed it. Yeah.
I don't know if I did. I think I tried to, but I don't think I got around to doing it because...
Collecting the orbs.
I
might even re-download that game.
Collecting the orbs is actually one of the most fun parts of the game.
Some of them were hard.
Yes, they were.
But taking over parts of the city was fun. I don't remember dying much, so maybe I played it on too easy of a level. Maybe I should re-download it and play it on a harder level.
You're going to come back next week with Crackdown on your game playlist.
Potentially, yeah, potentially. Well, you know, lots to look forward to. It's 2023, I know, has been discussed as being one of the greatest gaming years ever. And, you know, naturally, as you can expect with Gaming News Weekly, we covered mostly the first 3 weeks of last year and the last 3 weeks of last year. So we really covered that really iconic, great gaming year. But hopefully we'll be all over 2024.
And then we took a break for Christmas.
Yeah.
We're back for two weeks, took a break.
Exactly. Well, we've got to get our rest in. Hopefully 2024 is another great year. If you are looking forward to a game, if there's a game we've not mentioned, thoughts on any of the games that we've discussed, definitely let us know in the Discord. Let us know on Facebook what games you're looking forward to, what you thought the games we've discussed. Also, little side note, Matt, do we think Switch 2 gets announced this year?
I know there's rumors about it. I think Nintendo has to. With the current gen, Series X and PS5, it's been out for 3 years now. They've become a mainstay to the point where I know PS5 released their slim version. I'm sure Series X, Microsoft's going to release some sort of Xbox One X version of this of the series. So I think Nintendo has to at this point. The Switch, while I love it, it's a great versatile system. They're always behind the curve power-wise, but now they're even more behind the... They were behind the curve with Xbox One and PlayStation 4. But now they're even more behind the curve, to the point where it might be so weak that games won't be coming to it. Because we all know that some games get over to the Switch, but as inferior versions. And I think it'll be a thorn in Nintendo's side that besides Nintendo's games, they won't have any major third-party games that would sell the system.
Who knows? I mean, and... Who's even saying that it'll be the Switch 2? Knowing Nintendo, it'll be completely differently named.
Yep.
It won't be a handheld mixed one. It'll be something that you stand on or something like that. It'll be a Wii Fit board with a screen in front of your face to replace your TV.
Or like something to implement into your brain and then you become part of the game.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll be some nonsense like that. And we'll buy it.
Yep.
We'll buy it and we'll
Because it has the Nintendo brand on it.
Oh man, I mean, my wife will probably laugh if she hears this story again, but like we were 2 weeks away from getting married and it was like, do you know what? Let's get a Nintendo Switch. It's like we've got no money. It's all going to the wedding.
Oh my
And then there we
goodness.
are, you know, we need a Nintendo Switch. We did then spend a decent portion of our honeymoon playing Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle in a hotel room. Like, that is romance. That is romance. But anyway, game of the week. I think it's pretty clear that I should probably hand this to Matt, to explain why it should be the finals.
Ah, man, I really thought you were going to. I think both of us could have both of our game of the weeks, but I do think the finals really deserves a shout out here. That it's such a flawlessly smooth game that came out of nowhere to the scale of Apex Legends, and it's so fun, it's so different. It's a beautiful game. It really has the aesthetic of Mirror's Edge too, which isn't surprising since some of the developers from Mirror's Edge is also there, that it has that, you know, futuristic aesthetic of Mirror's Edge, has the destructibility of Battlefield on steroids mixed with Rainbow Six Siege, and it just has that class-based system of the old arena shooter that it is so fun and in the breath of fresh air with 3 versus 3 versus 3, which you know, has been done before, but it's a finely balanced, fun game. That I keep saying, just a breath of fresh air. It's not your Call of Duties, it's not your Battlefield, it's just a mixture of everything right that has combined together to make something so fun and enjoyable that I like anticipate coming back to it because it's so fun. And I'll leave that there.
I mentioned their videos numerous times. We're not tied to them, but you know, particularly I am a huge fan. Watch the Game Ranks review if you're not sure. I mean, bear in mind this game's free, but if you're not sure, watch the Game Ranks review. Go on YouTube, watch the Game Ranks review. Whack the settings up to the highest quality you can watch on whatever device it is, and they show at parts of that review just the map. Like completely, like they're just in rubble, effectively. It's amazing that the map changes so dramatically, and I think it looks great. So definitely, 100% go for that game of the week. If not, your second game of the week can be Warzone. No, Starfield. That's dog fuck. Anyway, so that's game of the week. We're gonna skip trivia this week because we've gone a little bit over. Again. One day, maybe we'll make an episode that's 30 minutes long. I don't think it's going to happen
Never.
ever. But yeah, great stuff to talk about again, which has been good. We'll be back next week. Make sure that you, as I say, hit anything up to us that you think we should be looking at, should be discussing anything from this week's episode or previous episodes. Anything that you've thought we might have to listen back to if like it's last week's. I've sort of already forgotten. So yeah, definitely do that. And yeah, well, it's been fun, Matt, but as always, this has been your Gaming News Weekly.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.